Welcome to English Through History. If you enjoy the content, then please subscribe or leave a comment. It helps us to create more content and is appreciated by our small team here. We hope you enjoy today's episode. The Domesday Book is one of the most iconic and invaluable documents in English history. Commissioned by William the Conqueror and completed in 1085, it serves as a comprehensive survey of landholdings and resources in England during the late 11th century. Its creation marked a pivotal moment in the administrative evolution of medieval England, providing a snapshot of society and governance shortly after the Norman conquest. In today's episode, we will be examining this historical masterpiece and how it provides insights into feudalism, medieval economics, and the exercise of royal power. The origins of the Domesday Book are inseparable from the Norman conquest of 1066. After his victory at the Battle of Hastings, William I, known as William the Conqueror, established himself as King of England. However, his position was far from secure. The Norman conquest disrupted English society, displacing the Anglo-Saxon aristocracy and redistributing land to William's loyal Norman supporters. By 1085, England faced external threats from Scandinavian forces and internal unrest. To consolidate his rule and strengthen his grip on the realm, William needed an accurate understanding of the wealth, resources, and obligations owed to the crown. This was particularly crucial for taxation, military logistics, and governance. The solution was an unprecedented survey of the entire kingdom. In December 1085, at a council in Gloucester, William ordered a compilation of a record that would detail every landholding in England. The survey aimed to document who held each piece of land, what it was worth, how it had been used in the past, and what it could yield in terms of taxes and feudal obligations. This ambitious project was overseen by royal commissioners who travelled across the kingdom to collect data. The survey's scope was extraordinary for its time, covering most of England and parts of Wales. It excluded a few regions such as London, Winchester, and parts of northern England, likely due to their complexity or ongoing unrest. The commissioners employed a rigorous methodology to gather information. Local juries, often composed of a mix of Norman and Anglo-Saxon representatives, were convened to answer a detailed set of questions. These inquiries, known as the Domesday Inquest, focus on who owned the land before the Norman conquest and who owned it in 1085, how the land was utilised, whether for farming, grazing, woodland or other purposes, the number of villages, slaves, cottages and freemen living on the land, the presence of mills, fisheries, meadows and other valuable assets, and the land's value at three points in time, before 1066, immediately after the conquest, and in 1085. The survey also accounted for feudal obligations, such as the number of knights or soldiers a landholder was required to provide for military service. The data collected during the survey was compiled into two volumes, the Great Domesday Book and the Little Domesday Book. Together, they represent a monumental achievement in medieval record keeping. The Great Domesday Book was the larger volume, and this provides a concise summary of landholdings across most of England. It organises the information by county, referred to as shires, further divided into landholders and their estates. The Little Domesday Book covered Essex, Norfolk and Suffolk, and this volume is more detailed than the Great Domesday Book. It is believed to be an earlier draft that was never fully integrated into the larger document. The name Domesday reflects the finality and authority of the record. Like the Last Judgment, the survey's findings were considered absolute and unalterable. The Domesday Book offered a wealth of information about late 11th century England. It reveals feudal hierarchy. The redistribution of land following the Norman conquest is starkly evident. The vast majority of land was held by Norman lords, often directly under the king. The survey also highlights the agricultural basis of medieval society, documenting arable land, livestock, and rural labourers. The population was categorized into distinct classes, including nobles, knights, freemen, serfs, and slaves. The survey also illustrates economic and social differences across England, with some regions being more densely populated and prosperous than others. The Domesday Book had several practical and political purposes. Primarily, its purposes were for taxation, feudal control, and legal records. By documenting land holdings and their value, the survey enabled William to implement an efficient and equitable system of taxation. The book clarified the obligations owed to the crown, reinforcing William's authority over his vassals. It served as a definitive reference in disputes over land ownership, reducing uncertainty and conflict. The Domesday Book is unparalleled in its scope and detail. Few medieval societies undertook such comprehensive surveys, making the Domesday Book a unique historical resource. Its value lies not only in its practical utility at the time, but also in its enduring insights into medieval life. For example, the survey exemplifies the Normans' administrative sophistication and their ability to adapt to governing a new kingdom. The Domesday Book also captures England at a critical juncture, documenting the profound social and economic changes wrought by the Norman conquest. For historians, the Domesday Book is an invaluable primary source. It provides unparalleled detail about land use, population, and governance in medieval England. Today, the Domesday Book is housed in the National Archives in Kew, London. It has been digitized and remains the subject of scholarly study and public fascination. Its appeal lies in its ability to transport readers to a bygone era and shed light on the foundations of English society. The book has also inspired countless studies in economic history, genealogy, and medieval studies. For example, it is a critical resource for understanding the impact of the Norman conquest and the Anglo-Saxon social order. In conclusion, the Domesday Book is a remarkable achievement, reflecting the ambition and ingenuity of William the Conqueror's administration. It is not merely a record of landholdings, it is a window into the complex tapestry of 11th century England, a society grappling with conquest, transformation, and the demands of a new ruling elite. Its meticulous compilation and lasting legacy underscore the importance of governance, documentation, and historical memory. Nearly a millennium after its creation, the Domesday Book continues to captivate scholars and enthusiasts, serving as a testament to the enduring power of written records to illuminate the past.